Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 25. This is the reading of God's Word. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." And he said to the disciples, "The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, 'Look there, look here,' do not go away, and do not run after them. For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Oh Father, we pray that by your grace that we will hear your word, truly hear your word, so our faith will grow and we will love you more and more. And Father, through your word, let us have sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has done, what he has accomplished for us. So let us rejoice as we see our heavenly reality through your word. And Father, pour out your blessings that your word will be preached correctly. And all of us not only hear your word, but understand and believe and obey your word, to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, as you could see in the program, is 114th time we're looking at Book of Luke. And every single time I tell you the same thing, in the book of Luke, what we are seeing is our Lord Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God. And because he is accomplishing the kingdom of God, the reality of that kingdom is being witnessed. But Bible also tells us, unless God blesses with his grace, the sinners will keep on hearing but will not understand. And they will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. So you understand how important God's grace that he pours out to us. That's why as you hear the sermon, you need to pray that God will bless you with his grace. Don't be conceited thinking that you, on your own, is able to understand God's word. So Luke 17 verse 20, "Now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed.'" Now, today's sermon, today and next time, is really important. So I don't want any of you to miss any part of it. So hear very carefully because you need to understand this. The Pharisees asked Jesus, "When is the kingdom of God come?" This question includes how can they know that the kingdom of God is coming? When we look at the actions of the Pharisees up to this point, it is very hard for us to believe that the Pharisees are asking this question because they truly wanted to know the true answer from Jesus. The Pharisees had their own understanding of the nature of the kingdom of God and how that kingdom will come. They believed, like so many people even today, that the kingdom of God would come with the cosmic change, and the kingdom of God is the earthly kingdom. The earthly kingdom that would surpass the glory of the Solomonic kingdom, the kingdom of Solomon in the Old Testament. To them, this kingdom of God be a strong kingdom and wealthy earthly kingdom. And they, as citizens of that kingdom, they're going to rule the world. That's how they believe. But as they hear the teaching of Jesus Christ, they realize that Jesus is preaching a kingdom that is a quite different from what they have believed. Whatever is the case, as we look at the question of the Pharisees, we are sure of one thing. What is that? The kingdom of God for them, and for many people even today, the kingdom of God is something that will happen in the future, according to them. And this is how people understand. When they talk about heaven, it's only in future. But is that what Bible teaches? The kingdom of God, according to them, is a future kingdom. And this is the same understanding of many Christians today, like I said. But you and I have already seen what Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God. The true kingdom of God, according to the Bible, is accomplished in two stages. At Jesus' first coming, it is accomplished spiritually, meaning that it is not visible. But just because it's not visible doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And only at the second coming of Jesus, it will be visibly consummated. Through the book of Luke, our Lord has been continuously teaching us, with the first coming of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God has also come with him. The kingdom of God is not just for the future, but it is our present reality. It has already come, but it's not visible. This is why people will not believe it. Just like Pharisees, they don't believe. Even though God is right in front of them, accomplishing his kingdom, and yet they reject Jesus. Because their understanding is all earthly. So when you understand kingdom as earthly kingdom, well, it's not here because you don't see it. But what is faith? When you see something and you say, oh, I believe it's here, that's not faith. Faith is faith because it's not seen. But you believe what God tells you. That's why it is faith. You believe, even though you don't see. Because what is it to say, I believe because I see? If you don't believe, even though you could see it and touch it, then you need to go to hospital. That has nothing to do with faith. This is why people will laugh at us. They will laugh at Jesus. They did laugh at Jesus. And they will laugh at us. Because we're talking about something we cannot see. But listen to the Bible. What does the Bible say? I'm here to tell you what the Bible says. I'm not here to tell you what I think. Look what Jesus is saying. Now, like what we said, the kingdom of God is coming in two stages. And Luke chapter 17, verse 20 through 37. See, we start verse 20, but we're only going to go up to 25. We're not going to go all the way to 37. If we do that, then you're going to stay here until, you know, way past, you know, 12, 1. Because it's going to be a long sermon. So I cut it at verse 25. But remind yourself as you hear this sermon, because knowing that verse 20 through 37 is one unit is very beneficial. But because of time, we're going to look up to verse 25. But even with these six verses, 20 to 25, we are able to see how the kingdom of God comes in two stages. The verses 20 and 21, these two verses are about the first stage. At his first coming, spiritual accomplishment. That's verse 20 and 21. Now, verse 22 all the way to 37, these verses are about the second stage. At his second coming, the visible consummation. Even the language in these verses also point to the same thing. In verse 20, the kingdom is coming. Whereas in verse 22, the days will come. Even the language that Bible uses, it indicates one is already come, the other will come. But let me explain, it will be more clear to you. So, two stages of the accomplishment of the kingdom of God. And next time, we will look at from verse 26 to all the way to 37 and see in more detail the visible consummation of the kingdom of God at Jesus' second coming. Now, the Pharisees, through their question, they are actually saying to Jesus that if he is truly the Messiah, then he must show them the signs. And Jesus clearly answered in verse 20b, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Can you read that yourself? What Jesus said? The kingdom of God, when it comes, it's going to be invisible. You really need to understand what Jesus is saying. The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. In other words, the kingdom of God is not an earthly kingdom. The earthly kingdoms always accomplished visibly, of course. And that is the general knowledge of this world, because they only understand in terms of this world. For all those who want this world, the kingdom that comes spiritually, meaning not visible, is no value to them. That's why they reject it. Because for them, others must see the kingdom so that those other people will be envious. Because for them, it's all about boasting. It's all about having control. Dominate. So if a kingdom comes visibly and you are a citizen of it and you dominate the world, that's what they want. And that's the kind of kingdom that these Pharisees, they were waiting for. And Jews today, they're still waiting for this kind of kingdom. That's why they reject Jesus as the Messiah. So they're waiting for their understanding of true Messiah. They're still waiting. And they rejected Christ. See, they want to boast about this. This is how the world is. Yeah, whoever designed that social media, man, they know how sinners are. Because it's all about boasting. And man, they have now tools to boast. It's not about me being old that I don't have those things. Nothing to do with my age. I was a computer science major. If I could find out how to use it, I'll use it, but I refuse to use it because I don't want to do that kind of stuff. Because you put up so many pictures of you. And I'm sure those pictures, you will not put it up there if it says less of you. Because you think that somehow by putting those pictures, some people will be impressed. Otherwise, why would you put it up? It's about boasting. But if it's not visible, then they cannot boast. Because they live for the boastful pride of life. To these people, the spiritual, invisible kingdom of God is no value whatsoever. The Bible is very clear that the kingdom of God does not come in its first stage with signs to be observed. Of course, it will be visibly consummated at the second stage, but not now. And it is not an earthly kingdom. John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now, how more clear do you want Jesus to say this? Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Any misunderstanding? Let me read that to you. John chapter 18, verse 36. "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." But what you need to understand is that the kingdom of God has already come with the first coming of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God has been inaugurated already. It already has begun. Luke chapter 7, verse 22, "And he answered and said to them, 'Go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive the sight, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them.'" What is Jesus saying to them here? The Old Testament tells us that when the Messiah comes with his kingdom, all these things will be happening. So Jesus is telling John the Baptist that that time has come because you see these things are happening. Luke chapter 11, verse 20, Jesus says, "If I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Jesus said, what is he saying? Because I cast out demons, I heal all kinds of sickness. Well, Old Testament has said that when the Messiah comes with his kingdom, that these things will happen. So he says, look at how I cast out demons. And when I do that, you know that kingdom of God has come upon you. That it has already come. He says it very, very clearly. It's already come. But from verse 22 then, Jesus also teaches that there is the future aspect of the kingdom of God. The truth is that the kingdom of God has already come, but it also will be visibly consummated in the future. So we use this phrase, already and not yet. both are true when it comes to the kingdom of God. It's already, but it's not yet. Both are true. But if you are here on earth right now, you must belong to the kingdom that is already in order for you to belong to the kingdom that is not yet. Because it's the same kingdom. Now, why this way? Well, you have to ask God. He doesn't tell us. This is how God did it. We could say this much. Why this way? Because he requires faith. I mean, think about it. If a kingdom is visible and he's asking you, believe that kingdom has come. Of course you have to, because you are looking at it. But since it's not visible and he says kingdom has come, you must believe. It's all about faith now. And if you don't believe, well, then you are rejecting the reality that Christ has accomplished. You already belong to that kingdom. You are already citizens of that kingdom. That's why you're royal priesthood in that kingdom. You are God's priest. This is why we are here to worship our God. What did priests do in the Old Testament? They serve God in the temple. And here we are. We are serving our God in the true temple in heaven. Because you are his priest. If you are not, then you can't. Luke chapter 17, verse 21. Nor will they say, here, look, here it is, or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Did you hear that? The kingdom of God. Because it is not an earthly kingdom, no one will say, look, here it is, or there it is. If it is somewhere in this world, then it is not the true kingdom of God. And he says, the kingdom of God is in your midst, or among you. Some people translate the last portion as in you, or within you. The kingdom of God is in you. But we have to remember that Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. Read the first part of verse 20. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. And Jesus would never say that the kingdom of God is in them, Pharisees. He would not say that. So we don't believe that that translation is a correct one. Thus, NASB translation is correct. It is in your midst. In fact, what Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of God is standing right in front of you. That's what Jesus is saying. Through Jesus Christ, the reality of kingdom of God is concretely witnessed. Through Jesus Christ and all that he is doing, the reality of that kingdom of God is being witnessed. Of course, not in the level of people understanding through seeing with their physical eyes, but the reality of kingdom is being witnessed in and through Jesus Christ and what he does. In Jesus and in what he does, there is the fullness of the kingdom of God being witnessed. He is, in fact, saying to the Pharisees, if you look at me and what I do, then you are able to see that the kingdom of God has come. But for the people who desire the worldly kingdom, it is impossible for them to see the kingdom of God looking at Jesus Christ. People who want this world, they want the worldly, meaning visible signs, Luke chapter 11, verse 29. As the crowd were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is a wicked generation. It seeks for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah." Luke chapter 12, verse 56. "You hypocrites, you know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why do you not analyze this present time?" What is Jesus saying? When you look at the Santa Ana wind blowing, you know it's going to be hot. And when you see towards the ocean and you see all the clouds coming, you're going to say, "Well, it's going to rain." You could analyze. Like Jesus says, you analyze the appearance of the earth and sky, but you do not analyze the present time. When you see Jesus, when you, through the Word of God, when you see Jesus came 2,000 years ago and doing all these things, and you need to realize, whoa, kingdom of God has come. Do you understand? What are you looking at when you see Jesus doing all these things? He's fulfilling in the Old Testament. Old Testament clearly promises the Messiah will come and he's going to establish the Messianic kingdom, which is the kingdom of God. And when that day happens, then he, the Messiah, will do all these things. So when you see Jesus come and he does all these things, you need to realize what is happening. But see, this happened 2,000 years ago. So you read the Bible and you see what Jesus has done. And you realize, wait a minute, what is going on here? He is establishing the kingdom of God. This is what you need to understand. You know, when my son was little, very little, whatever I do, like let's say I go out in the, you know, garage and do something, this little guy wants to know what I'm doing. It didn't matter what I was doing. Interesting or not, it was very, very interesting to that little guy. He wanted to know, are you interested in what God is doing? Or you don't care what God has done or what he is doing? That little guy was so interested in what I was doing because he loved me. And he still does. That's what love makes you to do. Just anything that person is doing, you are interested. That's how it is. When you get a girlfriend, understand this. You really don't care what, you just want to know. You want to know everything about that person because you love it. This is what will make you do if you love God. And you cannot fake this. And you girls, look at your husband-to-be or girlfriend. Don't just listen to what they say to you. Find out whether they really love Christ or not. And if they don't love Christ, why you want to marry this guy? Or why you want to be girlfriend to that guy? Why? Well, then whatever reason, it's all earthly reason. It's never Christian reason. Understand. You should fall in love because his love for Christ. His love for Christ, that's sexy. Understand? So many fake Christians these days. They don't take Christianity seriously. This is why people out there are laughing at our religion because they could see it's fake. They could see it's fake from us, how we live and what we say out there. Let's stop this. Let's take it seriously. Because this is true, truth. It's worth your life. And nothing else is worth your life. Only Jesus Christ. Please. You know, God doesn't say please. But I say please to you. Please live for the glory of God. Now, from verse 22 then, Jesus speaks of the second stage of the coming of the kingdom of God, the visible consummation at his second coming. Luke chapter 17, verse 22, and he said to the disciples, the days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. Up to this point, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, but from verse 22, Jesus is now speaking to his disciples. This is a very important thing. When you read the Bible, you need to really realize this. That's why we were able to come to the translation. It's not in you, but it's among you, because he was speaking to the Pharisees. But now he's speaking to his disciples. The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of Son of Man. The days of the Son of Man, meaning the day of the Yahweh in the Old Testament, or the day of the Lord, or day of the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is desire of all Christians. We long to see that day. That's why we say, come quickly. That's how Bible ends. Come quickly. Because we long to see his face. We long for that day to come. We pray that the day would come quickly, but Jesus says to his disciples, you will not see it. Because there are many things that must happen before that day. And Jesus is saying to them that by desiring that day to come quickly, do not act hastily. Luke chapter 17, verse 23. They will say to you, look there, look here, do not go away, and do not run after them. Mark chapter 13, verse 21 says it like this, and then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or behold, he is there, do not believe him. Matthew 24, verse 26, so if they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go out, or behold, he is in the inner room, do not believe them. Brothers and sisters, if you live long enough, you're going to hear some people out there saying, oh, Christ, it will come back in certain year, certain day. And some people even say that they are Jesus Christ who came back. I mean, I don't know how they could say things like that. But they do. First of all, God tells us that no one knows the day of the Lord. Matthew 24, verse 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, not the Son, but Father alone. Mark chapter 13, verse 32, but of that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but Father alone. Acts chapter 1, verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. So, first of all, nobody knows. If anybody tells you they know the day or hour, just run. Because he's a liar. Bible clearly says nobody knows, not even Jesus Christ. When he says, I don't know, He's talking about his humanity. Of course, in his divinity, he knows. Just like Jesus saying, I'm hungry. You think God is hungry? No, he's talking about his humanity. So he's hungry. So you understand. So he said, I don't know. You understand the same way. He's talking about his humanity, not his divinity. Understand? It's not that hard. Jesus was tired. Well, God doesn't get tired. But human Jesus was tired. So even Jesus doesn't know. And yet somehow this guy, he knows. And people will follow that guy. Why? No. And you're gonna experience this kind of thing in the future, because man, I know a lot of incidences like this. And his return is not slow. You think, oh, it has been 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years. Man, he's coming really slowly. Well, Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, but do not let this one fact escape your notice. Beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness. Understand? It only has been 2 days, according to God. So it's not, he's not slow coming back. But some people will say things like that. And Bible is very clear, the false teachers will come. And they will teach that Jesus Christ is coming on a certain date, like I said, or they will even claim that they are Jesus Christ who has returned. Do not believe them. Do not run after them, God says. You don't have to be at a certain place to see his return. Because Luke chapter 17, verse 24, for just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. What is he saying? When Jesus returns, everyone will be able to see his return. It will be impossible not to see and not to know his return. Like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky. See, lightning, even from the Old Testament, was always accompanied the coming of our God. See, the focus of verse 24 is that all will see the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, no matter where you will be. And I don't know scientifically, I can't explain how, because earth is round, but this is what God says. Like, lightning happens here, but you could see it way other part of the world. It's going to be something like that. When Jesus comes, everybody will be able to see him coming back. And last verse of today's passage. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And I know the time is flying here. Maybe I'll come back to verse 25 next week. But if I do that, it's going to be a little longer than usual. But today, because we have lunch together, so let me end this. Let me just end this. You and I, we must correctly analyze the present time. You need to understand what Jesus Christ has done and what that really means. The kingdom of God has come, and one day we will see our Lord returns. It will be visibly consummated. Who we are and how must we live are determined always by what our God has done and what he has accomplished for us. This is why even in the Old Testament, God saved them, Israelites, out of Egypt, then gave them the Ten Commandments and the law. So it depends on what God has done. Now they have to live accordingly. That's always the case. So you need to understand what God has done. He brought the kingdom of God. And he saves you to make citizens of that kingdom. And if the kingdom of God is accomplished, then it means that the new creation has been accomplished. Then it means that the spiritual resurrection has been accomplished. Then it means that the heaven has come. Then the Bible tells us what kind of people we have become in Jesus Christ and what kind of life we must live. We must live by faith. We must live according to our heavenly reality that is already our reality. See, you and I, we cannot live like Pharisees who ignored and rejected the presence of the kingdom of God and always wanting this world. Jesus came and he is accomplishing the kingdom of God right in front of their eyes, and they rejected him and the heavenly kingdom of God. You and I, we must examine ourselves. Do we live as if this world is everything? Is that how you live every day? As if this is everything? Or do you understand there is another world that you belong to? That you are presently citizen of? Or do you just live like the world, as if this world is everything to them? Do you live as if the kingdom of God has not come? Do you live as if we have no relationship whatsoever with that kingdom of God that has already come? And do we live, even if we believe that the kingdom of God has come, to express the reality of that kingdom in terms of the worldly kingdom? If truly the kingdom of God has come, then we must live according to the reality of that kingdom. If you belong to that kingdom, if you are the citizens of that kingdom, and if you are Christians, you are, then you must live according to what has God accomplished for you. You have come out of Egypt, and God has already delivered you into the promised land. You know, these Israelites, when they came out of Egypt and they were going through the wilderness to go to the promised land, they were looking back and they were saying to themselves, I want to go back to Egypt. God has saved you out of this world and already spiritually delivered you into the true promised land, heaven, the kingdom of God. And now you want to go back to the world? You want to live just like the world? The purpose of the world and your purpose the same? How can that be? You don't belong to this world anymore. God brought you out of it. And you need to believe what has happened to you. And you must live by faith. Paul even says, why do you live as if you're still living in this world? And so many people who go to church, they'll go, huh? What are you saying? Of course we live as if we're living in this world, because we are living in this world. But Paul asks in the Bible, why do you still live as if you live in this world? Because spiritually, God brought you out of this world. And he already have delivered you into his kingdom. So you cannot live as if you still belong to this world. It's like those Israelites wanting to go back to Egypt. That's so many churchgoers. They say they're saved, but their focus is always Egypt, this world, not heaven. Brothers and sisters,